24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. Welcome, welcome. It is Tuesday, the 7th of May. Glad you are here. 866-660-5759. That's how you call us. That is how you can text us there on the Patriot Mobile text line. So just glad that you are here all the way around. I've got a couple of things to address and a couple of calls to take, and then I'll give you just a little bit of a smidge of a travelogue, because I don't know about you, but when you go places and you have the opportunity to travel, whether it's some other country or just the state next door, I always love just giving people the total third degree on what did you do, where did you go, because I find that the best way to learn about stuff is just word of mouth. Just absolute word of mouth. And so I'll give you a little word of mouth about the great town of Albuquerque here in just a few minutes. We went to and this is kind of, I don't ever do this. I mean, let's say there's a band or musical act, or in this case, a stand-up comedian that you really want to see, and they don't come to DFW. It's like, oh, maybe next time. But as I said, my wonderful bride had secured us tickets to see Nate Bargatze at the Majestic in San Antonio, which is kind of like the Majestic in East Dallas, kind of a historic theater, maybe, you know, a couple of thousand people. And then I had a cold that I fought through. She had got it much worse, and we just couldn't get on the plane. So we had to sell those tickets. But then she went and found him again, and found him in Albuquerque at the Rio Rancho Event Center, about 30 minutes north of Albuquerque. I've never been to Albuquerque. So we have now, and it was awesome. And I will tell you, I am absolutely glad that we binged Breaking Bad a couple of years ago, because it just made it all the more meaningful. So anyway, details on that here in a second. Coming up at 8:35, congressional candidate John O'Shea is going to be here. John is running against Craig Goldman to be Kay Granger's successor, and a very important, I mean, how often do we change things up in a congressional seat? Doesn't happen very often. Usually it's when people retire. So here's Craig Goldman out of the legislature, where he's kind of a center-right, Granger-like figure, which might mean he's got a bit of a leg up there in terms of what the district looks like. He voted to impeach Paxton, doesn't seem to distance from that too much, seems to be okay with Dade Phelan having Democrat chairs, doesn't seem to distance from that too much, and John O'Shea is running against him from the right and has been on the show a number of times. And O'Shea is great. Depends on what do you want. How conservative do you want the district to be? So I want to ask John at 8:35 where this all came from. The notion of how often has he himself voted? And there's like a 20-year patch from like 00 to 20. Where he just was, I won't say AWOL, just wasn't on the voter rolls. I mean, we obviously have a secret ballot. Nobody knows whom you voted for, but we know whether you voted or not. And a lot of people in running for office want to tell you, I've voted in every election since 1980, and good for you, that's great. Others have not voted as often. So they found a bunch of elections, or they think they did, where Mr. O'Shea had not voted, and Jason Whiteley asked him about that over the weekend on Inside Texas Politics.
Your opponent called out your voting record as a public record people may not realize, and said you hadn't voted from 2000 to 2019. That's a 20-year deficit there.
Well,
why not?
Actually, I have. My last name has an apostrophe in it. And so prior to leaving the country, I don't know if they had me with the apostrophe or whatever, but it didn't pick up when I came back and re-registered. There was, however, about a 4.5-year period where I was out of the country. My wife had brain cancer, and I was, in effect, a single parent. And so in my campaign, I say it's God, family, country, and it's in that order. So that is correct. I did miss the 2016 and 2018 elections.
But you voted from 2000 to 2016?
I voted for George W. Bush both times. I voted for Mitt Romney. I voted for Senator John McCain.
So that answer is going over okay with some and decidedly not with others. People who have had very ill spouses have said, how long does it take to go vote? And there's this political consultant guy out of Austin who went and looked at voting records and the whole apostrophe thing. It's just guess what? We're just going to ask John about this. And my whole thing is this. You've got two candidates, and one of them has just a perfect voting record. They have voted in every election, you know, since Gerald Ford. I mean, just whatever. I've always been there. But I disagree with them on five or six issues. Candidate B has missed a bunch of elections, hadn't voted. There are some elections in there where he just didn't show up. But he's fired up today and ready to vote exactly the right way today. And I agree with him on everything today. I'm going to go with that guy. So I don't know whether, you know, what John will say about the voting thing. I will tell you I'm prepared for it not to matter, but let's take it away from John O'Shea. If this ever happens to anybody, I'd just as soon you tell me, man, there were some elections. I just wasn't real plugged in. I just didn't make it. Whoops. You know, but I'm plugged in now. And here are my views and ready to go. And I'm going to vote this way, this way, this way. Because ultimately, I always tell you that what's most important is what kind of representative will you be? What kind of member of Congress will you be? I think maybe Kristi Noem wants people to think that way. It's like, you know, if you're freaking out because I shot the dog, don't worry about that. If you're freaking out because I seem to have completely made up a story of meeting Kim Jong-un, don't worry about that. Just look how awesome I am in South Dakota. And she has been great in a number of ways in South Dakota. But this is just too weird. The story goes like this. Book comes out, or the book is about to come out. I think the Daily Mail in the UK found a copy of it first and said, not only did she put a bullet into a hard-to-train dog 20 years ago, but she thinks that was so awesome and such an example of how tough she is and, you know, how backwoods strong she is. And look what I did. It's not easy. It's not always easy to do the right thing. Yeah, problem. 90-some percent of America ain't convinced that she did the right thing. And even if you did, do you chortle about it and crow about it in your political memoir? Political memoirs are, first of all, some of the most boring books anyone will ever write or read. They're designed to deliver one message. Look how awesome I am. And especially in a political year, this book was designed to get Trump to pick her to be his vice president. Less likely, one might say right now, how did that workout last night on Jesse Waters?
You know, that story was a choice as a mom. The safety of my children versus a dangerous dog.
What? Like the dog was hovering over her babies, ready to kill that thing just like it did a chicken on the way back from a failed pheasant hunt. Get rid of the dog! Do what the Bidens did with Commander. Find a less stressful environment. It ain't working around here.
Was killing livestock and attacking people. So this book that I've written is full of stories of my past, hard decisions, and I told the truth. And I think that's very different than a lot of politicians that we have today.
Telling the truth is big to her. And by the way, telling the truth is important. And I guess it's better to tell the truth about the dog's story. If anybody asks you, hey, do you ever put a bullet in a dog's brain? Own up to it, I guess. But nobody asked. She volunteered this. She was proud of this. So let's talk about this telling the truth thing. As we pivot here in a moment to a supposed meeting between the governor of South Dakota and Kim Jong-un of North Korea.
Regret telling that story? Do you feel like, oh, maybe I should have said it? Do you understand why people don't like that story?
No, everybody's known that story for years. That's what most people don't realize is that in South Dakota, they've used that story to attack me and my political campaigns for years. I wanted people to know the truth. This dog was vicious. It was dangerous. It was killing livestock for the joy of it and attacking people. And I had a choice between keeping my family safe. I had little kids at the time, a very public business of inviting people out to come out and enjoy our hunting lodge and our business. And I don't pass my responsibilities off to anybody else. So that story is in the book because I want people to know that I'm honest. And that when I have difficult jobs, that I take responsibility myself.
Mm-hmm. Again, with the honesty, let's dig deeper.
So you're standing by the dog story.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's the facts.
Okay, that's
the facts. And I understand that there are
facts mean something there. Okay, just noticing a theme here. Facts, truth, these are good things.
Attacking me for it, Jesse.
Yeah, they are. So they're also attacking you. I guess you said you met Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
Did you meet him?
I've been to the DMZ. I've been to North Korea. You know, people, I don't talk about my conversations with world leaders.
I don't talk about those conversations, but can you confirm for us whether you made it up out of whole cloth?
So when I looked at the book and I saw that excerpt, I decided to make the change to the content of the book,
what?
And that's been done.
What kind of word salad? Kamala Harris just called and said, what kind of word salad was that?
You didn't have a conversation with Kim when you were at the DMZ.
I don't have conversations about my conversations with world leaders. I've been working on policy for 30 years, Jesse, and that's what most people don't remember about me is I'm old.
She's 52.
I'm a mom. I'm a grandma. I've got three little grandbabies.
You're not that old. So maybe you did have a conversation with Kim, but you don't want to talk about
it. I will not talk about my personal conversations with any world leaders.
So just to tie a bow around this, and let's please tie a bow around this, but listen, she just keeps giving us new material. Again, first rule of holes, when you're in a hole, stop digging. You remember the Mark Davis newsworthiness criteria? It's like when you ever find yourself wondering, why is something in the news? Maybe it annoys you that something's in the news. Why is that in the news? You know, we got wars and this, and the Republic's hanging by a thread. There are always three things: familiarity, impact, and oddity. Familiarity is you know somebody in the story. You know somebody in the story. You know, somebody down the street gets married, not newsworthy. You know, Tom Brady gets remarried, newsworthy. Tom Brady, kind of had to use him. God. You know what? If your marriage has just gone you know where and it looks like your wife dumped you for a Pilates instructor and the owner of your team just did Lord knows what in a massage parlor in Florida, I don't think I'd show up for a roast. It didn't go well. And Tom is a humorless dolt. Greatest quarterback ever. Humorless dolt. Anyway, though. There are some people get married, it's in the news. Other people, it's not. That's the familiarity angle of newsworthiness. Impact is how much it means to you. You know, how much a story, how much it something means to how much it literally affects you. Asteroid 50 billion miles away, not a problem. Asteroid within a million miles, big issue. Let's talk about local news. They're going to build a bullet train from, Des Moines to Minneapolis. We don't care so much. You're going to rip up your farmland from Dallas to Houston. We care. That's the impact of the story to you. And the third one is oddity. Woman has twins today at Baylor Grapevine, not in the news. Woman has octuplets, it's in the news. So familiarity, impact, and oddity. With the Christie Nome lying about Kim Jong-un and putting a bullet in the dog's brain, familiarity, pretty high on that scale. We know who she is. Impact, not so much to me, because I've never cared that much about her, but to a lot of people who are thinking for some mysterious reason, oh, she needs to be Trump's running mate, this is a difference maker, because now I don't think she's going to be. Oddity, off the charts. Off the charts. Not even so much the killing the dog, you know, in a gravel pit in South Dakota in 2003. That'll happen. But the thinking that I need to put this in my book and it will make me look great. A tone deafness, an optics fail like that is really, really rare. So that's why that's been in the news for a bit. And as for the Trump Veep stakes, I continue my, you know what? My fearsome foursome might have to grow by one. I've been very much on the J.D. Vance, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Byron Donalds, J.D. Vance, Senator from Ohio, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Governor of Arkansas, Byron Donalds, Congressman from Florida. And speaking of people in Florida, you know, the dream to me is still probably DeSantis. I have nothing against Tom Cotton's awesome. But just every once in a while, I'll see Tom Cotton on the TV box. I say, you know what? That would be pretty great, too. That Tom Cotton on the Israeli stuff, on the campus stuff, even the gender stuff. So we might have to go to the Fab Five of J.D. Vance, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Byron Donalds, Ron DeSantis, Tom Cotton. By the way, and my main thing being, Trump's running mate must excite conservatives. So stop all this yammering about Tulsi Gabbard, wonderful woman, that's great. Stop all this yammering about RFK Jr. Stop, it ain't going to mean Nikki Haley. It's not just no. Now, and there are some folks, Lee Zeldin, pretty cool. Elise Stefanik, pretty cool. A couple of New Yorkers. But the running mate must excite conservatives. All this talk about we need to broaden the appeal. I think Trump's appeal is doing just fine right now. Thank you. 8:24. And speaking of Dr. Gorka, it's a two talk show day for me. I was gone yesterday, but hey, come back and do two. Let's play two. Plenty of things to talk about. Trump on trial. I think we'll do some of that on Gorka. Do some of that right now. We may get, do you want this? Does the prosecution want this? Stormy Daniels may take the witness stand in the trial. Attorney Clark Brewster made the indication to the Associated Press. Former President Trump also suggested that today's witness would be more high profile, said he was recently told whom the witnesses would be, complained he should have been given more notice. She is central to the prosecution's case only in that she's the one who ostensibly received the payments, these $130,000 paid to her in a non-disclosure agreement, which is legal. She has been all over the place on whether her relationship even happened or not. She's a completely impeachable witness. And so I don't know. Trump faces 34 counts of falsifying business records. He has pleaded not guilty. And the whole thing's a joke. And that's some of what may play out today. Now, what plays out next, we're going to hop into the newsroom with Nikki Whaley and then come back, talk to congressional candidate John O'Shea, running along with Craig Goldman in Texas 12, where Kay Granger is retiring. And so far, it's been just about, you know, sort of how conservative do you want the district to be? But over the weekend, it became an issue over whether Mr. O'Shea has been voting reliably and regularly in various elections and whether that matters. Well, it apparently matters to some, and he thinks that things are being mistold. So he'll join us, and we'll do a little Q&A with him next. Mark Davis, 831. Here's Nikki. On this Tuesday, the 7th day of May. Oh, T-minus 3 weeks. Finally, 3 weeks. It's been forever since the actual primary, March 5th. We have a lot of questions to answer in that runoff. Some folks are in runoffs. And in the all-important decision of who's going to be Kay Granger's successor in Congress in District number 12, the Republican side of that, and for that one presumes the side that will prevail in November, will either be State Rep Craig Goldman or challenger John O'Shea. And so I was going to say we've talked to both of them, but we talked to John. Craig needs to come be on the show. As we talk about a number of issues, it would be good for Craig to come on the show. John's on the show again today because over the weekend we had an interesting issue arise. Jason Whiteley on Channel 8 presented him with it. I think this came from Craig's side. This will happen when you have candidates who may be real similar on the issues or maybe have some differences. Ultimately, some folks will say, yeah, what about this? They'll bring up things that might not have necessarily anything to do with how they would vote as a member of Congress. But this one is designed to make you believe that Mr. O'Shea missed out on a bunch of elections between 2000 and 2020. Wasn't there for 00, 04, 08. Wasn't there for Abbott, Paxton, or Patrick in 2014, 2018. And he told Jason Whiteley, yeah, I was. It's a mix-up with the election records keeping because of the apostrophe in O'Shea. I had questions. John's here. Let's cover it. Welcome, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Very nice to have you. But before I dive in, where did this first arise?
So, you know, honestly, part of the fun of being in politics is learning things about yourself. So I never had it ever brought to my attention that I wasn't registered or showing up as having voted on Secretary of State. And candidly speaking, and the reason why I brought up the apostrophe, and for those who have an apostrophe in their name, I mean, they can tell you, you know, they have problems from time to time where the fields won't accept an apostrophe. But it was when I was registering to be a state delegate. So I'm a precinct chair. I'm in front of the people getting registered to go down to 2022 for the state convention. And they can't find me in the system. And so finally, somebody walked by and goes, oh, I know he's got a problem. That there are a few other people. Instead of using an apostrophe or just putting it together, put a space between the O and the S. They did that. Lo and behold, there I was. I was registered. I was a state delegate.
So that's registration for being a state delegate. Is that exactly the same as being on the voter rolls?
To be candid with you, I don't really know. I mean, it never occurred to me to go check with the Secretary of State to see if I was actually having recorded as a voting, you know, but as I've kind of admitted through this the whole time, and I find it ironic that I'm being labeled no-show O'Shea when I'll come up and talk and answer questions anytime. But, you know, it literally, I guess there's another awakening. Hey, you know, the elections are so janky that now that maybe we actually need to make sure that our votes are actually properly recorded. I know I voted. I remember going to the LC Odom Center. I remember checking straight Republican ticket back when you could do that. And so I don't know why it didn't record. And I've also admitted that, you know, there was a period of time when I didn't know if my wife was going to live or not with the brain cancer that she had. And I took the kids and we went out of the country so that I could kind of take them out of the ghost of their former life and give them a sense of adventure. And I apologize if, you know, my priorities were God, family, country in that order. And so I did miss some elections, and I've always talked about that. So I don't know why it becomes a controversy now, but I get it. If I were him, I'd want attention on my voting record versus his.
Indeed. And again, Mr. Goldman's welcome on the show anytime. So the ones that you missed for that great reason of understandable gravity, the ones that you missed were when?
So I was out of the country. My wife was diagnosed with medulloblastoma in 2013. And it's a stage 4 brain cancer. It's very rare. And it has an 85% chance of relapse within 2 years. And when you relapse, I mean, it's fatal at that point in time. So I was out of the country from 14 to 19.
Gotcha.
And so I did. I mean, but ask Ken if, you know, he doesn't know that I support him wholeheartedly.
Indeed. And I want to get to that here in a bit about the notion of, you know, of what matters more, a candidate who's fired up now with the issues that you agree with or somebody whose voting record is perfect, but I disagree with you on 5 or 6 things. There are people, and I had a fascinating time going through everybody's online reactions to this, and there were some people who said, you know, I had a really ill spouse too, and I somehow found a way to vote, or I was out of the country and I somehow found a way to vote. There were some for whom, as resonant as the story may be, the that's why I didn't vote thing did not connect.
Well, you know, and if they want to hold that against me, fair enough. But I mean, I basically was kind of spending 9 months in hospitals in a nightmare and then trying to figure out how to save my family. We lived 3 hours away from the consulate in a country that didn't have a functioning mail system. And, you know, try sending something in Ecuador and see when it shows up to the States, if ever. And, you know, I mean, there are different levels of illness. I can tell you right now, my wife can't walk. She can't feed herself. Her speech is very difficult. And, if people want to hold that against me, that I prioritize trying to save my family, then okay. But I think to use that as a political cudgel says more about Mr. Goldman than it does me.
Gotcha. Let's come away from 14 to 19 and just about everything else from 08 to now. There's this Austin guy named Derek Ryan who went and looked through everybody with an O last name with your date of birth, and you're just not there in 00, 04, 14 for the Texas elections, 18 for the Texas elections. You're just not there. So is that record wrong?
Well, like I said, I went to the LC Odom Center over in North Arlington, and I did cast my vote. So as to the Secretary of State and how reliable their voting rolls are and their voting records, you know, that I don't know.
Gotcha. So there's something I've said today, and that is that if to take it away from you or this race or anybody, that if there are two folks running and one of them has a spottier voting record than the other, just didn't show up sometimes, either for understandable or flighty reasons, but they're plugged in now, they're plugged in today, they're ready for battle today, and I agree with them on everything, I'll take that right person over the person who's voted just religiously and with slavish devotion to showing up for 20 years, but I disagree with them on 5 or 6 really important things. The deal breaker needs to be that the first person does have, you got to be being honest with me. So if anybody is right, going, you're blaming the elections people, you just want to stand by that and say you absolutely did vote, and let's focus on what kind of congressman I'm going to be.
Yeah, and you know, fair enough. And look, I've got my faults, but I will tell you, and people can attest. I mean, if they have questions or if they want to visit with me about whatever subject, I've been very open and transparent. And I agree with you. I think this kind of political purity test that we're using right now on ourselves is ridiculous, because right now we've won more elections since Nixon, and then yet we've lost the country, and we keep voting for the wrong people who run like they're Ronald Reagan, and then they vote like they're Nancy Pelosi. And at this point in time, and at the gravity that our country's currently facing, I would say, look, I welcome all reformed independents or Democrats, or even people who were previously political, you know, apathetic and just didn't understand. And you know, that's the other thing about this, is that I have admitted that I was not aware of the fact that Republicans voted or ran as Republicans and yet didn't live up to our conservative principles and values. So, you know, if you want to hold it against me that I didn't vote in some primaries, okay, but I would suggest the alternative right now is a known collaborator with Democrats. And it's part of the reason why the Texas House down in Austin has had so many issues and killed so much conservative legislation.
About 4 or 5 minutes ago, you said you can understand why Mr. Goldman is so interested in your voting record to deflect attention from his own. How many have you guys, debates, forums, how many times have you guys been on the same stage in the last couple of months?
Well, again, no show of shade is not afraid to go anywhere, anytime to talk. And yet Mr. Goldman only showed up at the Texas Tarrant County Republican debate after it was publicly announced. And so, you know, I don't know if he's so secure in his position, why he is reticent to talk in a open forum. And if he wants to hash this out, hey, let's talk about it.
So that would so one joint appearance since March 5th?
Yeah, he refused a couple others that were offered up to him. Apparently his calendar was busy, which I'm kind of curious as to why it was, because unlike myself, he is no longer married and he doesn't have kids. So I don't know what the time constraints are.
So in that one occasion where you showed up, what differences did you notice? And again, Mr. Goldman's welcome here to talk about what those differences are from his perspective, and I hope he'll do so. What do you find the most important ones to be?
Well, he talked about how conservative the 88th legislation was. And I said, you know, that's interesting, because you voted in Democrat committee chairs again. You gave Democrats majorities on certain committees. You had a parliamentarian who was literally an attorney under Barack Obama's White House. And you killed all 8 major Republican Party platforms in the general session. But you found time to get 500 Democrat bills passed. And oh, by the way, for the fiscal conservative part of it, you guys passed a budget that's a record budget, 35% increase over the cycle, and didn't make any cuts anywhere. And then you say, hey, but we gave you back 60 cents on the dollar of your surplus that we overtaxed you. That and the fact that number of his voting records that I called up, he said, well, I just don't recall.
You need the 12th Congressional District to be pretty Paxton-loving, Dan Patrick-loving, kind of MAGA. You need them to be a pretty conservative district, and yet they keep sending back Kay Granger. And God bless Kay. It's a good opportunity to talk about how much we love her and her heart for service. Are you essentially trying to either make the district more conservative or prove that it has become so in this current sort of wind of change that we seem to have across the state?
Well, you know, with the exception of what I always kind of deem the Acela corridor from in Fort Worth from downtown to Westover Hills, the rest of the district is completely America First. And so, you know, again, I think a number of people, and it's a problem with conservatives in general, because, you know, we are gainfully employed. We do have families. We do go to church and to the extracurricular activities. And so we tend to believe that people are going to do what they say they're going to do, and we don't check, you know, on their actual voting record. And so, yeah, I think right now people are awake. In fact, that's the other thing I'd say, is that there's a real revival. And so, you know, I'm all for people becoming involved and choosing. I mean, right now, this is a clear choice. MAGA Paxton versus establishment Dade Phelan. And, you know, you've got to say it's a free country, at least it used to be.
3 weeks to the runoff on May 28th. Is there any joint appearance by you guys on the calendar right now?
I believe there is one in Parker County. The Parker County Republican women are having, it's either a candidate forum or a debate, to be honest with you. I'm not sure. But and that one he may feel safe attending, because that was a very pro-Kay Granger group.
Well, I'll send everybody to Google the good Parker County Republican women and attend that if they wish. And the website is O'Shea, O-S-H-E-A, no apostrophes on the internet, O'Shea, the numeral 4, O'Shea, sorry, I had to, O'Shea4Texas.org, O'Shea4Texas.org. Thank you, John. Appreciate it very much. We'll probably chat again between now and the runoff. And as I've said multiple times, Craig's welcome here. Love to have him, too. appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you so much, Mark.
You betcha. John O'Shea, Texas 12. It is 8:51. So if you're wondering, yes, Trump went into the courthouse within this last hour, said they have no case, and he accuses the White House of going after him while the country is on fire, metaphorically and literally. Goodness gracious, what are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. It is the last of our Food for the Poor co-hostings. Our friend Jared Reynolds is going to join us, I think, Hood County. And this, I've never met him in my life, and it's a first-timer, hopefully the first of many as the years pass in the Food for the Poor co-hosts. What we do is we find out what folks are thinking politically. We find out what they, like, do in life. And this guy's done some very interesting things, including an area where I don't know nearly enough. So we will find out what his thoughts are and just grill him for all kinds of information. Jared joins us next right here on 660 AM The Answer.